Thank you very much, Brian. And back to that news that broke this morning, the resignation from government of the Minister of State, Damien English, the Fine Gael TD for Meath West. Now, he announced his resignation saying that he had failed to inform Meath County Council of his ownership of a house as part of a planning application made in 2008. In a moment, we'll speak to Mary Hughes, who's Director of HRA Planning Consultants. But first, Gary Murphy, Professor of Politics at DCU, joins us now. Good morning, Gary.
Hi, Claire.
So what did you make of this when you heard the news this morning?
I wasn't terribly surprised in the fact that it clearly is a very serious omission not to include on a planning application the central issue, really, that one has a house when... And if you don't declare that, I think that is a very serious issue when declaring a house is central to that planning application. And it's not simply a matter of personal ethics as much ethics and legislation seem to me. So I wasn't terribly surprised.
And do you think that this says that there's a trust issue now in politics, a trust in politicians issue?
Well, I think there has been a trust in politicians issue going back about a quarter of a century. We had the Ethics and Public Office Act based back in the mid-1990s. That was around tribunals of inquiry. The idea basically is that we should have our politicians on a sort of a higher plane than the rest of us, the mere mortals. And the issue in relation to ethics and public office is that politicians ultimately obey what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, I was talking to Simon Harris about this earlier and asking him about respect for the rules. You know, when ordinary civilians look at the rules, they expect that when they're in breach of something like planning or conflict of interest rules in business, for example, that they expect that the hammer is going to fall swiftly and heavily. Does this tell us that politicians don't expect that?
I'm not sure it tells us that exactly, Claire. Excuse me, I'm just having some difficulty. Could you go to your other speaker?
Yeah, we'll get you back. We'll just change the line, Gary, and we'll come back to you in just a moment. In the meantime, Mary Hughes, as I said, Director of HRA Planning Consultants, is with us. And Mary, thank you for joining us. And at the heart of this issue is a planning problem, according to Damien English. That was the reason he gave for his resignation and omission from his 2008 planning application. And that's what we wanted to talk to you about, because he resigned because he failed to inform Meath County Council about his ownership of a house as part of a planning application to build a one-off bungalow in 2008. Now, this issue relates, Mary, doesn't it, to demonstrating a local housing need. Can you explain that for us?
Yeah, good morning, Claire. Basically, in terms of rural planning and in terms of rural housing planning in Ireland, planning in Ireland for rural areas is very much focused on a flexible approach and accommodating those who genuinely and really need to live in a rural area, either on social grounds or on functional employment grounds. And the planning authorities in a given area will generally divide a rural area into those areas which are suffering from, I suppose, increased pressure for rural housing, and those areas which are suffering from population decline. In those areas which are suffering from population decline, the rules, I guess, are a lot more flexible. And in general principles, the planning authority will try and facilitate developments in those areas, subject to, of course, certain siting and design criteria. In those areas which are, I suppose, suffering from an increased pressure from rural housing, and generally they are areas in close proximity to urban centres or within commuting distances of cities and towns, generally in those areas the rules are a lot more, I suppose, onerous on an applicant. And the reason why they are onerous is to try and control the provision of housing or the development of housing in rural areas, but at the same time providing that flexibility for people who genuinely needs to live in those areas.
Okay, so you have to demonstrate that you need a house and you have to declare whether you own another property. So if it emerges subsequently that information on that application for a one-off build wasn't correct or complete, Mary, what happens? What's the consequence of that?
Okay, so I suppose the first thing is that there are obviously within the planning application process itself, there is a period for determination. That period for determination is publicised. So any person who is aware of any potential misleading or false information can make the planning authority aware of that information, and the planning authority will investigate it during the course of the planning application assessment. If that information is discovered or come about after the determination is made by the planning authority, the decision can be appealed. And of course, there is also the opportunity for judicial review. So if indeed false information is provided at any stage of the planning application process, there are, I suppose, a number of routes or avenues that can be explored or pursued. If it is a case that, I suppose, planning permission is, or if it is a case that it is found at a later stage after planning permission has been granted, that the development may not be in accordance with the provisions of the adopted development plan at that time, then there is the powers for the local authority to revoke that planning permission. But they can only do that in advance of commencement of works on the site.
Because you hear sometimes when there is a planning issue with a property or an extension that has already been built, that the owner or the applicant has to apply for retention. And yeah, they won't be granted that in all cases. And sometimes, it's rare enough, but sometimes they're asked to remove that structure. Could that happen in this type of a situation?
Okay, so in terms of retention permission relates to retention of works or a change of use. In instances where a building has been constructed in accordance with the plans and particulars, then a retention issue would not arise. And also in relation to the use of the property. But there is a very, I suppose, you know, there is an aspect, or there is a certain provision in the legislation which can be used in exceptional circumstances, and that is a notice by the planning authority to require removal of a property or its demolition or its discontinuance of use. But generally, that provision is only used in extreme exceptional circumstances and primarily relates to kind of special amenity areas.
Okay, what about fines then? Is there any financial implication if you don't fill out your planning application correctly, whether it's deliberate or a mistake?
So there are powers of enforcement for the planning authority, but again, the powers of enforcement are very much relating to the actual building itself and the use of that building. And there's also a 7-year time limit for taking enforcement, or in the case of where planning permission is granted, it's actually just in excess of 12 years. So there are fines under the planning code in relation to enforcement matters.
Okay, but they're time limited.
But they are time limited, yes, they are.
So when it comes to this application for a one-off building, a lot of this is done on goodwill, is it?
Yeah, absolutely, it is. And I mean, you know, when I suppose planning applications forms are being completed, the planning authority does, I suppose, rely on the trust and honesty of the applicants filling those planning applications out. Now, there are other checks and balances in place in respect of, in particular, I suppose, rural housing in areas that are under pressure. For example, you are asked to provide your current address of residence, and you're also asked to demonstrate that you are residing at that residence. So in such instances, for example, in some local authorities, they would be asked to submit bills or statements in their names showing that address. So they are the checks and balances that are generally in place to ensure that correct information is being provided.
Mary, thank you very much for explaining all of that to us. Mary Hughes there, former president of the Irish Planning Institute, but currently director of HRA Planning Consultants. And Gary Murphy, professor of politics at DCU, is back with us now. Gary, good to have you with us again.
Apologies for that, Claire.
That's all right. You said that you saw this coming because you were reading the reports on the ditch yesterday. You weren't surprised when Damien English resigned this morning. But what's the political impact of all of this as Leo Varadkar begins this period of time as Taoiseach?
Well, I think the optics of it are very bad, clearly, for the government. I mean, this is now the fourth ministerial resignation, two senior ministers in agriculture, Derek Leary and Barry Cohen, and now on top of Robert Troy about 6 months ago again for a... basically a planning issue and basically a relation to housing. So I think the optics of it are pretty poor for the government. We have a register of interest for very obvious reasons, which is that politicians need to declare things that might be material benefit to them. And I think, I think the optics are pretty poor for the government.
And for Fine Gael, because the other resignations had been from Fianna Fáil politicians, this one brings Fine Gael into it. And as I said, only shortly after Leo Varadkar becomes Taoiseach.
Well, indeed, and I think it's a very poor start. I think the government will stick together because the alternative is actually much worse than election. But, I think the optics on this are pretty poor, Claire.
All right, Gary, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much. Gary Murphy, Professor of Politics at DCU. Back after this break.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.